This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
And we are brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on the west side, 837 2nd Street in Manchester. And we are also brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. In fact, we've got a Keurig brewing machine, coffee-making system right here with all the pods you could ever hope for. Although I always bring my own iced coffee, I guess. I'm not seeing brewing any iced coffee down here trying to do a radio show.
I have a pod. I have one of the Keurig machines, and then I'll pour it over ice afterwards. But, you know, they do make a cold one.
They do. That's what I understand. Yeah. It's probably a little bit more money.
Yeah. We got the big one. They have the big pot.
Oh,
now.
You're talking about at work, though, right?
No, I'm at my house.
At your house?
Yeah, my house. So it's, you know, like I said, we use the New England coffee, too. But it's great coffee. But like I said, we got the whole pot. So there's that 2.0 one.
Okay.
And you put it in there. And then what I've done is I just brew that now. And I'll just throw that inside the refrigerator, and then I'll just have my iced coffee.
That's what I do too. Yeah. I'll make the cup, put it in the fridge for an hour, or sometimes I'll put it in the freezer if I'm in a hurry. Then of course I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
So I got a cylinder.
That's the one thing, you know. I just started drinking more coffee lately. So
yes.
Got to get that energy going, you know. So
why don't you poke your head around the door
in
the corner and tell the mayor to come on in here. We'll get him in early, as the food is about to be delivered. So. We'll get the mayor in a couple minutes early, get him out a few minutes early. It's a very busy day in Manchester. Well, it always is, but especially more today. And you know this man, of course, George Lawrence.
Hello.
Get all the microphones open. So today we are feeding the mayor from the in-town cafe here, Midtown Cafe, I should say. All right. So, George, that looks really good. I had one of those last week. Explain what it is to the mayor, if you would, please.
Hey, no, this here. Well, I don't know if you know the story. All the restaurants I've had, people watch what I eat. And at the Belmont, they do.
The funny thing, George, is they watch what I eat, and I don't own any restaurants.
I know, but you know, they see you go in front. And, I do. I always make what I want with what I want. And you'll say, can I have one of them?
Yeah.
And they'll go, I don't know. Let me ask Joy. Well, of course you can. So we always had specials. Same darn thing happened in Midtown, right? Make my own little sandwich. And Brittany, the manager up here, she didn't even tell me. I go in one day, she says, the George sandwich. So this is the George sandwich.
All right,
this is
now.
Turkey, ham, tomato, a little bit of heat in there, spinach. Mayonnaise.
You notice how he said that? A little bit of heat.
Well, I do. Yeah. The reason I do, a lot of people don't like a lot of heat. I do.
I do.
I don't like a lot. I like it normal.
But, yeah.
Some people, normal is too high. So I just say a little bit.
A little bit of heat.
So there you go. That's your Georgia sandwich.
The George sandwich.
Looks fantastic.
So now everybody will be watching me from up there. I can see now looking down. But what am I having for a sandwich?
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like a multi-grain bread anyway.
It's a
nice
multi-grain. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice multi-grain.
Now tell us.
New England Bakery.
Tomorrow, you were a little too busy with some internal things to address today. But tomorrow, though, is going to be a special.
Tomorrow, at Midtown Cafe. Come on by. We're going to have a tenderloin sandwich.
You missed it by
the
a day,
The real
man.
Tenderloin and on a nice roll with garnish.
Is that a George sandwich, too?
It's my own creation.
All but, right.
It's cooked right to button, sliced on the machine, ample, and comes with a soda for $8. You can't go wrong.
So, all right.
Wow.
We do this once a month, as Mike knows. It's almost like we used to call, and still is, a loss leader. You don't make no money. It makes people talk.
Well, that's good.
That's all it is.
That's
you
a
had
good
the
thing.
Prime rib one there one day I was here.
Yeah,
I was
had
like,
the prime rib.
Oh,
yeah,
you know.
We were selling prime rib there for $6.
I know.
You
know? Oh,
that's... But this, I like to do it. It's kind of fun. Carol and I say, hey, let's have fun. Yeah. So we do.
And today I saw on the menu board outside on the sidewalk, it looked like a popper, a jalapeno popper grilled cheese.
Well, that's the
I
heat.
Saw that, too.
That's the heat.
I was running a little late. Otherwise, I would
have
grabbed one.
That's the guy in the red shirt up there, Brian.
Did he have
He loves the heat. He's always coaching Brittany.
Yeah.
Make it hotter.
Really?
Keep it down.
Do you like
keep
a lot of seasoning, Mayor, or do you prefer it a little more?
I'm okay. A little bit is okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Too that's, hot?
Well, I find it in the restaurant is you get to know what people eat, and it is that way. It's a little less, you're good. You know? Yeah. You want the exception? Go ahead, double it for the guy. I don't care if he gets triple.
You can always put it on the side too. You know,
exactly. That's like exactly.
Let's talk about a restaurant that's in Derry. That go ahead and start, Mayor.
Not to worry.
No, he's not shy. I forgot. So yesterday I was telling Carol about this. There's a restaurant. Maybe, were you here? No, I don't think so. Well,
yeah,
you were
here.
At
one part,
but I don't think you heard this part of it. There's a place, and they have on Saturday, they have what they call, I guess it's I know what it is. It's jalapeno popper roulette. Ooh. And they give you six jalapeno poppers, but one of them is made with maybe a ghost pepper or something that approaches that. And that's called the bullet.
Whoa.
And they pass the plate around, and whoever gets the bullet gets some kind of prize.
Yeah, all right.
You know, we used to do that in the restaurant industry, too. But at the same time, too, is like if you leave your soda around and there's hot peppers around, then all of a sudden you don't put your work in, and you come back and you start taking a sip, you're like, oh, my God.
I should introduce Chef Patrick Hall, who is Director of Culinary Education at Lakes Region Community College up at Canterbury, at Shaker Village in Canterbury, which, as we've said before, I can't think of a more scenic place to do your job.
That's beautiful.
It's a great office. You know,
great.
Look out, see the cows, you know. So
can't wait to go check it out.
Yeah,
that's
good.
His students have been busy making cheese for me that I'll be using in the mac and cheese competition this year.
Made another batch last night.
You did?
Yeah, we have a batch of Gouda, a batch of cheddar, and then we did Parmesan this time. So
you did?
Yeah.
A little hotter
cheese in the brine right now, so we're going to sit outside for you know dry out for about 3 days, and we'll see how that comes out.
Yeah, I definitely could use. I like
the George's sandwich is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
just hot enough.
It's just that's right. Just the right.
So very, very good.
So what is the heat? Is it?
What we make ourselves?
Chipotle
it's just
or?
Chipotle and a little bit of mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sure. Down.
That's great.
Yeah, that looks.
That's it's good. It's a hot. That's a fast mover.
Yeah,
everybody asks for it.
You can't beat a panini though. I mean, it just gives you that little extra toast. It stiffens
up
the
bread. We get this from
a
wholesaler's really New England bakery. And they work with Piantadosi.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all Fantini. We used to use the same.
I love Fantini.
It's really good. Yeah.
Oh my God, that they're Italian.
Fantini's great too.
And then, the other bread that we used was Calisi, and I actually had him as a bakery teacher in college at Johnson & Wales, Calisi and Sons Bakery. And,
really?
Oh yeah, yeah. And he was a great chef.
Good.
Yeah.
I was surprised. You know, it's like everyday business. You know, in the restaurant business, I got a phone call from New England Bakery Monday. George, I hate to tell you, says bread went up. I got to tell you the story first. And it's only supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
Two bakeries in the heart of Boston that have been in business for almost 100 years closed their doors. It just, that's it. It just happened a month apart. Immediately, Piantadosi raised all their bread 50 cents.
50?
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be saying it here, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's making it hard.
Because they can.
They don't have the spread.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the way it is. So I said, well, if you pass it on to me, gonna have to try to pass it on to them or absorb as long as we can.
Because your margins
have such a great bread.
They do. And it, you know, it's funny how it fluctuates because I don't know if years ago when the whole low carb fad came out, they were hurting bakeries, you know, for that. And bakeries were trying to struggle to come out with low carb versions of bread and things like that.
And it's hard in a sandwich shop to get a bread that's going to take the panini well without burning it or getting it soggy.
Yeah.
Their breads, they are remarkable.
They're
even for 50 cents more now.
So 50 cents for the loaf.
Don't sound like a lot, but it's pennies.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Slice of bread is 23 cents. It used to be 11.
Yeah. That's like what a slice of bread is now?
Yeah, that's 28.
Oh.
Yeah. And like an egg. Egg used to be 9 cents. And
now
egg it's 30 cents for one egg.
Yeah. Yeah,
now, is that because of the avian flu?
Yes, it is, but the price went down and it went back up, and I suspect that going back up, it's going to be stable.
You know, when the avian flu is done and everything's kind of recycled, I bet the prices won't go down.
It'll go down a half of what it used, you know, of what the increase was.
But it's like gas. When you see the price of spot oil and all that stuff going up, and then when it goes way down, it doesn't seem to go down proportionate.
And you notice the vacation's over with or mostly over with, the gas has gone back down.
Yeah.
243.
It's funny when both of those happen too.
They say they don't adjust the price.
You get a bill for food and everything. It doesn't go back down like you said, but at the same time you get surcharges on there. You still get fuel charges for the restaurant owner. You know, so
it's hard. That's why we have these meetings every Thursday with all our managers.
And
without that, I'll tell you, they get to know and get to feel the heartbeat of it. You know that. Mm-hmm. It's all about food costs and service. And
I remember going to a restaurant maybe 10 years ago, and lettuce, it was just a bad year for lettuce.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And there was a surcharge if you wanted to have a salad, I thought. come on.
Oh, tomatoes.
Suck it up. But now I have great appreciation getting to know you and Carol.
You have to pass it
on. Are you doing that with eggs at all at this point?
We did. We had to do 20 cents. It's costing us 30, but we're losing a dime. It's okay. We'll absorb that.
Okay.
But we had a 20 cent add-on cost.
Is that still in effect?
It's in effect. It has to stay. It's still going up.
Yep. It's crazy. Cases of eggs and then butter. Butter's another thing that goes through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, during the wintertime sometimes when there's butter shortage, I mean, you're talking about $120 a case of butter.
I know.
For 36 pounds of butter. And generally, you can get it for maybe like $70.
Well,
and then that's the
wow.
So well, the doubles. Egg increase, what made me, I usually don't like to add on. I don't. I try to absorb it. Like lettuce. It was short-lived and it was real.
Yes.
You know, I don't say the Avian ain't real, but it was adding up to $1,800 a week. What the increase was.
Yeah.
You can't swallow that one, huh?
No. We didn't get much static. The ones that give the static, shouldn't say it on the radio, we just let it go.
Yeah.
And they some squawk real hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man. Don't pay it. Yeah. Let it go. As I'm talking, two or three.
Yeah. You know, most people don't really care. You know, they'll be like, that's fine. You know, but then there's a lot of people that do, you know, and they'll come in there. But if you think in small sense, and, you know, like when I, you know, this is what I learned when I owned a restaurant, is like little things. Like we had a rug that was costing us, you know, whatever. But over the whole year, you know, we didn't have to. We wouldn't bought our own rug. But that rug cost us $1,000 after 1 year. Just for having a cleaning company come out and take it. Simple things like that. And you start figuring little things out, and you got to save.
In general, I'm very happy with everything because my uncle taught me 40 years ago. He says, 97% of people are great. That 3%, be careful. I a little oil after, about 2 years later, I says, Uncle Ray, you know what? I think it's 5%, but you're right.
Oh.
It did. It gets worse.
The sandwich is great. The coleslaw is great.
Glad to hear it. Yep. Made right here.
Well, that's
right
good.
The coleslaw.
Thank you to the Midtown Grill and the folks upstairs. They always do a great job.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to hear. We
couldn't
try hard.
More. And they come up with different
they're,
stuff,
they're
too.
Coming out. The door. The line is right by the doors right now. There's something going on.
City
here. Isn't it that way?
That's the City Year kids that are just coming into town.
Because I saw them go by this morning.
Yeah, they started on Monday. So all the City Year kids are here.
Explain what that is. People see them with their T-shirts on, cleaning up the parks and the streets. What tell us a bit about that organization.
They're the mentors that go into schools and work with kids.
Okay.
Or to get them back on track.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job in the City of Manchester. And I can tell you that if you go into school and you watch them working with kids, it's really amazing because they're younger. So the kids gravitate towards them and they listen. Mm-hmm. And they're even excited. The kids that weren't coming to school, they're excited about coming to school.
Wow.
And City Year does a great job. So they're here. I met with them just a couple of days ago, and they're here to do a year's work, and you know, everybody knows that they really put their heart and soul into it, and it's about, you know, giving back to the community, and I try and get to every event that they have. But, again, that's why you see so many kids downtown.
Yeah, I saw them this morning. We were sitting out there having a coffee at 8 o'clock. I look at these. It's going by.
Yeah, we actually, at the college, a couple of years ago, we were talking about creating a whole course, and it was all about giving back to the community.
Oh, yes, it's all about community.
And you know, and creating a whole course is part of everybody's curriculum to do that, and they might still do that, and the Lakes Region Community College might still do that. So it's really
good. Matter of fact, I'm meeting with a bunch of Vista volunteers this afternoon. Those kids are also in town. So there's the population is here, and it's growing, and we're now in 8 schools with City Year. To help them, we started with 4, and we've now to 8.
Hmm.
So it's great, and it's a public-private partnerships. There are companies that participate and contribute. And certainly I thank them out there for stepping up and making sure that we can get kids on track and educate them a little bit better.
That's fantastic.
Now, is it a national organization as well with a Manchester component to it, or is it?
Oh no, City Year is a national. Yeah, they're a national organization.
So, has anybody kind of taken off of that? Because it seems like it works well locally. There'd be other communities you would think wanting to take that concept.
Well, there are, but they've. When I first started 6 years ago, they had one team that was at Hillside, working with the seventh graders. And when I met with Michael Brown, who's a native of Manchester, who started City Year, he and his partner were Harvard graduates, and they're a nonprofit. And I said, why are we waiting until the seventh grade to try and help kids? Because if you're trying to recover them in the seventh grade is not easy. So how about if we get them in the fourth grade and try and mold them a little differently so that when they get to the seventh grade, you don't have that problem. And so I convinced them to come into Manchester. They used to be in a couple of other schools, but they've brought all their students right here to the city. So again, they do a great job. We started with four teams. I convinced them to get us four teams. They funded them. I had to go out and raise about $300,000 a year for the contribution, and certainly there were a lot of businesses that stepped up and helped, and now they're continuing to help, and we've now grown to eight teams, and it's remarkable what they do, and what they go in and they have a day of giving, and they are in different places in the city. I think last year or 2 years ago they were over at Valley Street Cemetery painting the fence.
Oh, okay.
So they do a whole lot of different things.
It's a great program, and in part of education and part of colleges are doing that too. We're inviting students that are in the sixth grade, seventh grade, to get them thinking, hey, you know, you're in sixth grade now, but where are you going to go to college? What are you going to do? And start creating a career path for them, career pathway for them. And this fits in the same thing.
And they're from all over the country.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got some that are from Florida and California, and when you catch them in that first snowstorm, they kind of start scratching their heads saying, did I make the right choice?
You said they're up here for a year?
They're here for a whole year.
Part of their commitment?
Wow. Yes. Okay.
It's a commitment for a year.
Wow.
And I can tell you that they truly are committed, because there's not a lot of money involved in their 1 year of commitment.
Now, do they stay with local families or
housing?
The housing and everything else, we try and provide some sort of parking for them so that they can park over at Bedford Lot and they can get around. But most of them double up, triple up, quadruple up in rooms.
Oh my gosh!
So they're we try and get them bus passes for nothing, because they truly give back, and they're not it's not like they're the highest paid people in the city, so for those folks that see them out there, thank them. They wear those red jackets, and
I did not know what it was about. I knew it was some kind of a program, but you see, people in general don't know. Look what you're doing, the background, to help them out with the parking, and without it, the city don't go.
Is this? Do they get some college or credit or whatever for those
of
that age?
Most of them have graduated.
Oh, they have. They're older.
Yeah. Okay. I remember someone telling me that.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Chat with the mayor for a couple of more moments, in case he wants to finish up or nibble a little bit more on his sandwich from the Midtown Cafe here on Elm Street, 814 Beacon Street. Lunch with the mayor every other Thursday. It is 12:30, and it's Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL.
For Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It's Food for Thought at 12:35, and we're brought to you today by Grasshopper's Garden Center in New Boston and Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsboro. Well, I see the sawhorses going up and down Elm Street and other points around town. It's the big race.
The Cigna Elliott Road Race.
Yeah, and I can't remember too many years, if any, recently where the weather wasn't at least nice or somewhat decent for this.
It's a great day out there, and certainly I know that they're trying to get a record number of runners. They're way up over 6,000 runners right now. So downtown will be pretty active. There's a Fisher Cats game. So pay attention where the detours are and what part of the city you've got to avoid.
What's the distance of that race?
I think it's 5K. 5K.
Right. Oh, it's a 5K. So
that's what, three and change.
I only do at least 20. So
20K or 20 feet.
I can tell.
Depends where the sandwich station is.
I can tell. But I'm right next to you.
Well, you always start the firing pistol, don't you, Mayor?
I do. I know that John Mortimer, who's now in charge of this race also, has tried to convince me many, many times to get into one of his races or walk it. He's still trying to convince me.
You can walk it.
He's still trying to convince me.
Yeah, it's just funny because you see more and more people. You know, they're taking pictures of themselves and are on Facebook, and they got the number on them. And I'm like, oh, I just look at that. I'm just like, I just have no want to do that.
No, running is not fun, but people are addicted to it. You know, some people
there
are.
There's no question that there are Tom Raphael.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what the number is that he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't one a week, it was pretty close to that.
Oh, the popularity of it's gone through the roof. I mean, it's such
I'm sure I'll see him tonight. I see him at every race, and he always says, come on, Mary, get on my back. I'll come over your eyes. I said, well, Tom, I don't think you're ready for that. So.
Does he do marathons as well, or is he more?
To be honest with you, I don't know, but I know he does a lot of the 5Ks.
Mayor, there's a guy in Nashua, maybe you know him, Dave Salvis, used to work for BAE, and he's about our age. He's done over 80 marathons.
Wow.
And simply like 30 Boston Marathon runs, and he has run the length and width of New Hampshire on a number of occasions to raise money. And again, this is a guy in his 60s that's doing this. You figure at this point, okay, I'm all set with
that's
that.
That's great. That's
great. Yeah. And of course, you were an athlete, you know, back in the day. I mean, which I think you somewhat attribute to the fact that you weathered the heart surgery as well as you did last year.
Well, I did, and probably sports and athletics is people ask me, what gets you ready to be mayor of a big city? And I say, if you were an athlete, you're ready to take on the challenge because you understand that when you sometimes you get knocked down, you just get back up, you put the chin strap on, and just don't forget the number.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And we can't let the segment go by without your personal. I saw it on your Facebook about the contract dispute going on with the city and your veto of the contract. So in your own words, for those that haven't seen it on Facebook or a press release, and I'm sorry that we don't have somebody that would come in and do it point counterpoint, but you're here, so give us the latest front page of the paper today.
Well, Mike, I think you know me pretty well, and I never make political decisions. I try and make decisions on what's right for the citizens of the city of Manchester, the students of this great city, and the teachers. And I certainly can't look at a contract and not see what the future years may bring. And the shortfall in funding in the future years creates a problem that, as we talk about reducing class sizes and getting more teachers into classes, I see this contract is doing just the reverse, not filling retirement positions or possibly even laying off teachers. So I look at it and say, you know, as my father always said, if you can get up in the morning, shave your face and not cut your throat, you know that you did all right the day before. So I look at it and say, you know, we'll get down, we'll get something done. We'll sit down, we'll work through this and make sure that we don't talk about, let's not involve personal issues. Let's just talk about the issues and get them done.
And I guess the personal aspect of the political argument is easy to do. We're just a month out of, you know,
34 days to be exact.
Yeah, exactly. So so you're hoping that it can be a negotiated agreement, which I think has always been your approach to, you know, to challenges in government from what I can see.
Well, you know, if we can get people to the table, I'm sure that we'll be able to get a common understanding on how do we move forward and what's the best remedy for everybody, and I think that that's what's most important.
All right, so is the contract up, or when will it be up?
No, it's already been up. They've been without a contract we're going into the third year now, but they've been without a contract for 2 years.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, I didn't realize
it. And there haven't been any work actions. They're not threatening that at this point?
No, they're talking about the letter of the law, the letter of the contract, so
okay.
I think that there's conversations about it, and that's fine. I can't tell them that... that's not something they shouldn't do, but I would hope that when students are looking for their recommendations for college that they would sit down and make sure that they put the student first.
And one other item, we've talked about it almost every time you've been in here, or at least every other time, and that is the heroin issues in the city. And I see that the city of Gloucester has a program, Gloucester Mass, and I think some others that involve law enforcement, all kinds of local people in education. And medicine, tell us where we stand in Manchester, because I feel like there's some progress being made, or maybe I'm just hearing a lot of conversation.
Well, Mike, I can tell you that that the school district, the school board approved covering all the high school books and
that.
The junior high school books. I got somebody to donate book covers that say not even once on them. So that we can start instilling in the minds of the high school students and the junior high school students, they got to think about what they're doing, because if you do it once, you could die.
Yep.
So they're being paid for. There's going to be 40,000 book covers that will be distributed the first day of school so kids can cover their books. They're very colorful. They'll stand out. I think it's a great thing that we are preserving the books, but we're also keeping on the minds of students, as it says, not even once.
You have a new police chief in town. It seems like he's got a little more visibility than I can recall in the past. Seems to be a guy that likes to get out in the community as really a good way to touch people.
Well, he does, and he's certainly somebody that everybody has migrated to and thinks that he's doing a magnificent job. Not that Chief Marrow didn't do it before right. him, but again, he's out there and he's very visible. And maybe I'll bring him into the show next week.
Well, sure.
I'll bring him along.
Let
with
us
me.
Know so we can have a lunch.
No lunch for him.
Oh, we're not allowed to offer.
You can't be trying to have anybody fix your tickets.
Oh, we bring him some pastry. You know, yeah. I just happened. The students made them. That's what we're going to have to happen. Yeah.
All right. Let me call the chief and ask.
Yeah, please do. We'd love to have him about 2 weeks from today for the next lunch with the mayor and police chief, because I've not met him yet, and good to get his take on what his first few months in that position have been.
And certainly maybe we'll even bring the fire chief 2 weeks after that and some other department heads with us along. And
bringing some. There you go.
That's right.
Terrific. Well, thank you for sharing the sandwich with me, by the way. You didn't really have to do that.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
Mayor Ted Gatzis, City of Manchester. We'll see you in 2 weeks with police chief. Don't forget.
I won't.
All right.
Mike,
thank you very much.
Pat, have a great
thank
day.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
All right, Mayor, see you soon. It's 1244, the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. And yes, we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, the Pulse.
Hi there, it's Mike Moore, and Carol Lawrence is away today and tomorrow, enjoying some extra four-day weekends as the summer, well, actually is in the second half already. This is the 13th, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is August 13th, so we're 5 weeks away from autumn.
Yeah.
And then we know what happens after that, so I'll stop.
Yeah.
Our show is brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, and Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and the new one in Londonderry with the drive-through. Tomorrow, Food for Thought will be part of a bigger effort as part of the fundraiser, the Radiothon for the Boys and Girls Club of Concord. So from morning to night, broadcasting live at Banks Chevrolet in Concord. So I'm looking forward to being a part of that. We'll be vacating the Beacon Street for one day and one day only, and we'll be up there tomorrow trying to raise some money for an organization that never can seem to get enough resources together for the ever-increasing demand of after-school programs and other community efforts that the Boys and Girls Club does so well. So we're going to do our part tomorrow. The Pulse is 107.7 WTPL. Joining me is Chef Patrick Hall in studio here and for the next couple of weeks on Thursday. So, Chef, you and I, before the show, started talking a little bit about new restaurants when they open and what they must go through. And the reason I bring this up with you, because you've owned restaurants, or at least one anyway.
Yeah. We owned ours for about 8 years. And, you know, the nightmares of a restaurant owner are, like you said, we just had George here. Just thinking about the little things is huge.
And the reason I bring that up is because the Foundry, which is the new restaurant owned by Dean Kamen here in the Mill Yard of Manchester, where Jillian's used to be, they did not even a soft opening. It was a friends and family, come on in, eat for free so we can kind of see how the systems work. And I believe it is opened officially this week. So there are going to be bumps and challenges along the way. What's it like opening up a restaurant and a business that was never there before?
It's scary. I mean, when we were talking a little bit, you know, you start seeing little things like they might run out of this, run out of that, because you don't know. You don't have a history behind that. You've never been open before. Mm-hmm. It's not the same menu. And of course, you look at the Foundry. The building was, two other establishments before then?
Yes, that's correct.
You know, and I always talk about this to the students, you know, and I said, you know, the biggest thing about opening a restaurant is location, location, location. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always use this, and it's going to grow, just to get the point across. I said, you never want to open a restaurant in a building that used to be a morgue. Because what's your first thing in your head, you know?
Right.
So you're just looking for failure. So, but that they've opened up in a great area and stuff like that. But it's scary. I'm telling you, you know, sweat rolling. That you want everything to go out perfect, but you can't do everything yourself. You know, so
Well, what kind of restaurant and where was it?
We were in Franklin. It was called Patrill's Restaurant. It was right on Central Street in Franklin. Mm-hmm. And then we were everything. We had prime rib. We had pasta dishes. We had sandwiches. We had wraps. We had all sorts of stuff.
It wasn't a fine dining place.
No, it was family style.
Family style.
Okay. I mean, but of course, you know, when I owned it, we started in 98. My wife and I was a restaurant and bakery. And so we did wedding cakes out of there. We did pastry, had a whole pastry section where we did homemade pastries and things like that. And it was just a smaller restaurant. I think there was probably like 70 seats in the total. Mm-hmm. But even in that capacity, you know, it's just, you know, it's nerve wracking. You know,
is the biggest challenge the help? Staffing?
And honestly, I would own it to this day if that was the case. And, you know, I worked literally like in the middle of our busiest time that we made money right after the first or second year, which is unheard of, which is great. And we had a great, you know, great run with it. But like I said, once you get to that point where you can actually hire somebody and then there's nobody there to hire that's worthwhile. I mean, you get tons of people that would come in and say, oh, I'd love to cook and all this sort of, that's great. Where have you cooked before? Well, I've cooked for my kids at home. And I'm like, the restaurant industry is totally different than that. So it's one of those things. And it's a, you know, and like I said, I put an ad out in the paper and wherever I could. And I worked literally by myself during Friday, Saturday nights, you know, 7 days a week, you know.
Did you have a sous chef at least or some support?
Myself.
So it was you.
That was a mom and
for
pop place.
For a 70-seat restaurant.
And my wife. And my wife would do the front and my in the back. You know, and it's the opposite way, too.
How do you do it? I mean, how did your mind process all the ongoing things and all the food you're turning
over? We started off making our own rolls, from everything right from scratch. Okay. Everything was right from scratch. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd get in there because, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, you get so tired and then you're here at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I just remember my wife and I just sitting there looking at each other, trying to do the cash out. We didn't care about the money. We're just like, we're like, I want to cry. You know, you know, and then there's also the, because restaurant equipment, everything that goes in a restaurant, people take advantage. They walk in there and they see, oh, that's great, big, beautiful bar, and all that stuff costs money. So, I mean, it's in a lot of restaurant equipment costs a lot of money. Like, you're talking about a refrigerator costs $5,000. So then there's the other side of it. As you're setting this up and you're ready to open and you're looking around, and you're like, oh, my God, and you sign in the check for thousands of dollars. You're like, oh, your sweat dripping down your face. And
So did you do a loan, or did you just have some backing to start with?
Yeah, we had a loan and backing. So,
right.
So it was, you know, and that's –
double pressure to, because now you want to pay it back. And
unless you're independently wealthy, you can walk in there, you know, you have to have a solid business plan to open a restaurant, because there's an 85% failure rate. There really is. And, you know, a lot of people, like I said, you know, I've seen people that retired from having these great engineering jobs and they're like, what are you going to do for your retirement? Oh, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm like, oh, don't do that. Just don't do that. And not that I don't love it.
Yes.
I love it because I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. You haven't. So it's like, you know, you don't understand what, you know, it's just because you like to eat. Doesn't
it a young person's business, young man's, young woman's business?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, it's definitely a young person's business. And like I said, you start young and then.
Yeah. Cause you'd have been what, in your 20s when you opened up a Trills?
Yeah. 23.
Okay.
23 years
so
old.
So right out of Johnson and Wales.
Yeah.
You get your funding and you get your business plan. You got it all together and you end up working probably 80, 90, 100-hour weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had an easy restaurant life. We were closed on Sundays and Mondays.
Yeah, but you were still probably in there doing
in
stuff,
there,
right? Just
ordering,
catching up.
And you want to, you know, keep baking. Place clean. Oh, yeah, baking, and you want to keep up on things. And then you have people that ask you to cater. And that's, you know, then you that's a whole separate
right. I mean, that's a good income stream.
Oh, beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
You can handle that.
Yeah, it's great. So, but it's scary. It's definitely scary. And it's one of those things that you want everything to go right. So.
Yeah. Well, we wish Dean Kamen the best of luck. I'm sure he's not underfunded in any sense, but I also don't think he wants to just keep writing checks.
No, absolutely.
Because I don't know what the average time is for a restaurant to start making money if it succeeds, but
usually about 5 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. Any business, you know. So.
I think he's good for the money.
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll be all right for a while. He'll get it straight, you know.
Chef Patrick Hall and I will return after a quick break for the news and an update. Carol Lawrence, co-host of the show, is away until Monday. She'll be back. I'm Mike Moore on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL.